Praise the Lord. I praise and thank God for giving us this blessed Sunday morning to come at an online worship service today morning also. I thank God for blessing us and keeping us safe for the past 1 week, especially all our kids, all our youths, all our church members. God took care of us and brought us safe this Sunday morning to worship the Lord in the truth and the spirit. As we sang today morning, God is always with us. He is our blessed portion. He will take care of us in each situations of our life. This morning time, I know as it is in online, I will go very slowly and quietly so that it will be easy for the kids and everyone to easily understand the message or the meaning of the message that I want to share with you all today morning. We know that we are living in a world now where it is full of online meetings going on. In the past, I remember maybe like 10, 15, 20 years back, we would be hearing radio messages. Through radio messages, we could hear the word of God. So these days, in our comforts, at the comforts of our home, God is enabling us to do the same. We are seeing the messages of God, which is being broadcasted. It's, you know, after 10, 15, 20 years, we can see how much the world is changing, how much things has come very handy to our life. Everything which we thought in the past, which cannot be accomplished, is now being accomplished, right? If you like 10, 50 years before, if you say to somebody that I want to fax or I want to take a copy of something, of a paper, like a duplicate copy, or I want to send a fax, or I'm going to call somebody on a FaceTime, people would say that what you're saying is a foolish thing. But when we stand at this present day, we know that everything has changed completely. So this morning, let us completely give ourselves to God. We know the situations going on around us. What are the different the ways different people, what they are encountering in their lives? Just the other day, I was reading a story which I was very much inspired and which is most adaptable to this present situation. The story goes like this. It's the story of an eagle and a squirrel. It's not a story, actually. It's a daily, day-to-day life of what is happening in the life of an eagle and a squirrel. But the end portion is only what the message that I have to say in regards to that story. So the eagle and the squirrel. And the squirrel, he was just hunting for his food. He was just looking around for his food, you know, between the bushes, between the leaves, on the trees. Nowadays, we know there are a lot of squirrels in our. If you go outside, if you go just outside your houses, you can see a lot of squirrels. So this squirrel, he was just, you know, looking out for his food. And suddenly, his eyes saw the wicked eyes of the eagle. The eagle was pointing straight. He was looking for his target. He was looking for his food. He saw the squirrel. If you study the life of the eagles, if they point at a target, they mean it. They mean to take the enemy by its speed, by its accuracy. The eagle will fly and take its enemy. The squirrel noticed the claws, the sharp claws of the eagle. He saw the sharp beaks of the eagle. So he knew that it was time to act. And so he left his food and he just started running. At that time, the eagle also, with all his strength, his wings spanned out, he just went out to catch his enemy. And the eagle, he has the best ability, he has the best capacity, he can fly at high speed, he can attack, he can even take big animals also with his strong claws. And then the squirrel, he also attempted his full strength. And he just ran and he hopped from tree to tree. Just he looked back, he could see the eagle coming back in full strength, towards him in full strength. And finally, the little squirrel, our friend, he saw a small opening on a tree, a small hole on a tree. It might be a bird's, it might be a small hole of some birds. He somehow pushed himself into that hole. And he escaped from the mighty clutches of the sharp clutches of this eagle. The eagle came just and he sat on that branch near to the hole of the tree. And he could not get his enemy this time. He was always a successful eagle, but this time he could not get his prey. He just looked into the hole and he could hear the heartbeats of our little friend, the squirrel. And after some time, the eagle just popped his head, his beaks into the hole, and he asked, "Hey, squirrel, all these years I was able to catch my prey, but why I didn't do it for today?" And the squirrel replied back, and that is what inspired me of today's situation. The squirrel replied back, "Eagle, for you, it is a matter of a meal of one time. For you, it's a matter of meal. For one time. But for me, it was a matter of life and death. For me, it is a matter of life." So that wording really inspired me. So the squirrel went inside because it was a matter of life for him. Whereas the eagle, it was a matter of food for him. Why it inspired me these days that now if you look into our surrounding situations, we can see life is like that. When we go to shopping malls, when we go to food complexes, we can see that long queue waiting there for the food. People are desperately want food. We have seen panic shopping. Also on the other side, nowadays, we see a lot of people on ventilators where they are fighting for their life. It is a matter of life for them. When we are in our comfort zones, it is a matter of food for us. But for outside, it is a matter of life. So youngsters, let us pray these days that God may bring us a situation. God may bring an answer to all these problems that is going on in our life. We know because of these, many people are lamenting, weeping, crying. These days, if you look to our situations, to the world around, we can see people going away. People going away from this world in different ways. One is through, we know, the virus which is going around us. The other one is through depressions. The other one is through financial reasons. Depressions also, the financial problems causes depressions. Another thing is that pressure in life, pressures which comes to youths, to youngsters, to adults, they can't stand. They take away their life. This is what we are seeing in these days around the world. The other day, the place where we stayed, near to place we stayed in Kuwait, an young boy of 13 years old. His dad and mom are doctors. He was always on the game. At one point, just 2 weeks back, they just told to him in a little harsh voice, "Stop the game." And that went into his heart. He was depressed. He was under pressure. And I don't want to say what happened, but the boy was no more. The parents were depressed. The entire community was depressed. So they are lamenting on it. They are weeping over it. These days, we need to have a solution for all this. Yesterday, when I was talking to our youth director, Sister Deethi, I was just telling to her, our kids, our youths, our church, we are privileged that we have a platform like this where we are enabling our kids. We have the kids meeting on Thursday. We have the preteens on Tuesdays. We have our youth messages, worship. We have our Sunday school today. We are having a platform where we are enabling our kids to go through this situation. And once you come out of this situation, how we are going to face it. But there are other kids who not have these privileges. I'm concerned for them. They are inside the coziness of their house. We don't know how they are going through. But when they come back to schools, when they come out of these situations, you are also going to be sit with them. So you should be the mediator. You should be the one. You should be the watchman for this world when you come out of these situations. I don't want to go more further in my introductions, but today, when Pastor called to say about today of the youth message, suddenly the message which came through my mind was from the book of Lamentations. We know the book of Lamentations, it is the 25th book of the Bible. As I always like to say, a small history of the book which we are reading. So it's the book of Lamentations, which I'm planning to take today. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. We know Jeremiah is a major prophet, right? Jeremiah. We know there are major prophets. We know there are minor prophets. But we know in detail about the only prophet, Jeremiah. We know the details of the other prophet, but in detail, we know about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is also called as a weeping prophet. This book, Lamentations, I know we might not have heard too much about Lamentations, but why the reason is that the book of Lamentations is the book which is filled of weeping, crying. The reason is that it was written by Jeremiah because he saw the destruction. He saw how Jerusalem and Israel was destructed, how it fell to the enemies. But before long, Jeremiah, through the word of God, he had prophesied to Jerusalem. He had prophesied to Israel that they should come out of their sins. But the people did not heed to that. And because of that, Jerusalem was gone into destruction. That's why this book is called the Book of Lamentations. From chapter 1, if you read up to chapter 5, it is a book where Jeremiah, in a poetic way, he is lamenting on the situations, what happened to Jerusalem. Why this book is important? We know a book which is also similar situation to this, a person who has gone through a situation like this, and that is the life of Job. But in the life of Job, it pictures us of a man of God puzzling over the result of evil and sufferings of the world. Job dealt with an unexplained evil, but Jeremiah is lamenting of a tragedy. He's lamenting of a tragedy, but Job is lamenting of an unexplained evil. So this morning, when we look through this book of Lamentations, I don't want to read the entire book's chapter for you, but the summary is that he is lamenting over the fall of Jerusalem. But in these verses, in these five books, there is some verses which gives us hope and strength. Out of the darkness of from chapter 1 to chapter 5, there is some verses which gives us hope and strength in these dark times. And another interesting thing of the book of Lamentations is that chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5 has 22 verses each. It's very easy to remember, 22 verses each. And chapter 3 has the same number as the books of the Bible, that is 66 verses in chapter 3. And historians have confirmed that Jeremiah is the author of this book of Lamentations. Also, in the Greek translation of Septuagint, the Septuagint is called the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It reads that, and it came to pass after Israel has been taken captive and Jerusalem has been laid waste, that Jeremiah sat weeping and uttered his lamentation over Jerusalem. So we clearly now understood that we can understand that this book is written by Jeremiah. Second thing, why he wrote it? He wrote because of the fall of Jerusalem. And thirdly, we know it has got five books, five chapters, five poetic chapters. 1, 2, 4, and 5 has 22 verses, and chapter 3 has 66 verses. Now, shall I call upon Abel to read chapter 3, verse 21 to 26? Abel, can you read chapter 3, verse 21 to 26?
This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord.
So verse 21 to 25 is saying about the Lord's merciness, that there his mercy is, and his compassion is new every morning. It's great is thy faithfulness. So let's read also from 27 to 33. Can Alka help me in reading 27 to 33?
It is good for a man to bear a yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace. For a man are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
So thank you, Abel and Elka. So these are the verses from verses chapter 3, verse 21 to 33. These are the holy hope of strength, the holy hope of encouragement that we get from the book of Lamentations. If you read all other verses, it is about the destruction. It is about how Jeremiah and all the people in Jerusalem got affected because of the fall of Jerusalem. Now, my topic today is verse number 27, chapter 3, verse 27. Ryan, can you read it for me, verse number 27?
It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his yoke.
Thank you. So, verse 27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So here, when Jeremiah when he's writing this poem, he's dealing about a situation where everyone has been affected. Everyone has been affected with this tragedy. Now, if you look into the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is lamenting on many things. That's why we called him as a weeping prophet. If you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25, can Sarah, Tony read for me 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25?
Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah, and to this day all the singing men and all the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the laments.
So we see here that Jeremiah laments on many things. That is the first verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25, where we first hear about Jeremiah in the king of Josiah. So we just read this word. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So when Jeremiah was crediting this, he was crediting about the judgment which was to come for the people of Jerusalem. He says on countless expression of sorrow and weeping. He's saying not only to him, but all the people in Jerusalem were affected by God's judgment. He expresses sorrow, and his expression by the reflection of men, including young people. To those young people, he's saying this verse. It is a good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. What we read here is the only hope and strength. As what I told you just now, it is the only hope and strength what we get from this book. So what do you mean by yoke? If you look into the dictionary, a yoke is a wooden cross piece fastened onto an oxen to plow or to cart. We know that we have seen oxen, especially when in India, if you ask your parents, they know, they have seen literally with their eyes. Many of our fathers, many of our forefathers, our grandparents, they have worked with the oxen. They have tied this yoke onto the oxen and they have worked in the fields. Similarly, it is good to bear the yoke when one is young. Why? If God disciplines us when we are young, It is to train us for a fruitful future. In essence, it is profitable for one to submit to God's discipline in early life, for it is a necessary part of serving God. A yoke speaks of service. You know, when a yoke is kept onto an oxen, it is doing a service. So when we have a yoke on us, it speaks of service. And if yoked with God in service, we should be prepared to suffer the discipline of God that he allows in our life. So when we are yoked with God, when the burden on us, we share it with God. God is there. He allows suffering. Sufferings will come, but He will take care of us. We know that a yoke, two oxen, they share. Sometimes the yoke is to one oxen, but sometimes we see it's to two oxen. So when the two oxen go, they share that burden. Similarly, when a yoke, it speaks of service, and if it is yoked with God in service, we should be prepared to suffer, but at the end, we will be victorious. The person whom we read here is about Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was a young man when God called him to service. Historians say that he was approximately 17 years when he was called to this service. He was set apart for God from birth. Can we read Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 to 8? Joel, can you help me in reading Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 to 8?
A message from the Lord came to me. The Lord said, "Before I formed you in your mother's body, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart to serve me. I appointed you to be the prophet to the nations. You are my Lord and King," I said. "I don't know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I sent you. You must say everything I command you to say. Do not be afraid of the people I sent you to. I am with you. I will save you," announces the Lord.
Thank you, Joel. So here we clearly see that Jeremiah was a young man when God called him. As I told you, he was approximately 17 years when he was called by God. The other persons whom we see in the Bible who was set apart to God from birth are Samson, Prophet Samuel, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and Paul. Set apart, but these persons, particularly in the Bible, they say they were set apart to God from birth. But it, along with Jeremiah, his expressions of sorrow also comes expressions of hope. You know, Spurgeon, the great speaker, he told one time, "It is good for youths to bear the yoke." Why? Because it is obedience to God. "It is best learned when young." So it is obedience to God. So we see that in the book of Jeremiah, as Joel read it here now, when God told him, he's telling, "No, God, I'm an young man. I cannot do this. I cannot speak." But when he was obedient to the word of God, we can see how God used him to prophesy against kings. He had been the prophet for almost six kings. So we can clearly see that he prophesied many things. He had also gone through an isolation, which with lack of time, I don't want to share that. So obedience to God, it's best learned when young. It saves us from the thousand snares. These days we are reading Psalms 91 every day in our houses. In Sunday school also we read Psalms 91. So it saves us from a thousand snares. It keeps us from bearing the devil's yoke. So if we are connected in yoke with God, it keeps us from bearing the devil's yoke. It gives one many years of experience. So it gives us a lot of experience if we give ourselves to God when we are at a young stage. But sometimes we think, "Lord, sometimes this suffering, sometimes when we go with God, the chastening is sometimes too much," right? Sometimes we think, "Why this on me? Why I should take this?" But one thing I have to say to you from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Can Sarah Thompson read for me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 and 11? Sarah Thompson, can she read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 and 11? If she's not there, I will read.
"They disciplined us for a little while. They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplined us for our own good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at that time, but painful. Later on, however, it produced a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it."
Thank you, Sarah. So here in Hebrews, we read that when we are chastened in our young age, when we go through difficult situations in our young age, it's not for our destruction, but that we might be partakers of his holiness, that at the end it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So each day at your young age, when the yoke is kept upon you, in the youth, when the yoke is kept upon you, you are exercised each day for the purpose of God. Due to time constraint, let me go forward. When I look up to Lamentations and to Jeremiah, let me give you two, three examples of people who bore this yoke at their young age. One, we know clearly, it is Joseph. Can Judith read for me from Genesis chapter 37, verse 13? Genesis chapter 37, verse 13.
Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are taking care of the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "All right," Joseph replied.
Thank you, Judith. So here, a yoke is being kept upon Joseph. He is told by his father that you have to go and see where your brothers are. Go and check about them. He's giving a yoke. You know at what age Joseph started carrying this yoke? If you read in chapter 37, verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brethren. So Jeremiah was 17 when he was called for the purpose of God. Joseph was 17 when the yoke was placed on him. I know we have heard lot of messages about Joseph. That's why I don't want to go in detail into that. But when we read each chapters after that, we are able to know that this yoke which was kept upon Joseph, that was tied together with God. That's why in each problems he went through, when he went to the pit, when he went to the jail, when he was in Potiphar's house, everywhere the yoke was tied with God. And that was why he was successful wherever he went. Youngsters, I want to say to you one thing. I don't want to elaborate about Joseph because we know the story in detail. But Joseph did not understand the cruelty of his brethren, the false witness of the women, and the long years of unjust imprisonment. But he trusted and saw at last the glory of God in all its perfection. All things work together for good to those that love God. In Psalms it says, the word of the Lord tried him. It was not prison life with its hard beds or poor food that tried Joseph, but it was the word of God had spoken to his heart in the early years of his youth concerning elevation and honor, which were greater than his brethren were to receive. God always returns by way of his promises. So youngsters, this morning, in reading with this passage and to Joseph, I want to say that whatever yoke you are tied with God, you may go through different situations. You may go through difficult situations in your life. But you may see failures, but that's not the end. You may see depressions in life. That's not the end. As I told about the boy who took away his life. No. Chastening comes from your parents may chasten you. They may scold you. They may tell that, do this. It's for your good that they are saying. We know Samuel, Prophet Samuel, when he was small, he grew up both in favor to God and man. So as we fear God, let us also fear. As we love God, let us also love our parents. Let us heed to the advices that they give us. And we, at the end of the story of Joseph, we know how he was elevated to the second in Egypt. May I leave that story of Joseph. May I come to the second person, David. Can Jeremiah Binu, can you read me for me 1 Samuel verse 17, chapter 17 verse 33. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 33. Jeremiah.
Then Saul said to David, You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.
So here we see that he's saying to David, come on, you have to go from here because you are only an young lad, an young boy. You cannot be here in the war field. He's saying to David, he's saying that you are an young lad. The reason why he's saying that he's an young lad, he should not be there. And as I pause, you know, when David was also anointed by Prophet Samuel, you know how many years, how much old he was? If we calculate the age he became a king, and as historians say, that he was between the age of 10 to 15 years when he was anointed by God. He was anointed for a greater mission at his young age. He was given the yoke at an young age. But when we read through the different books of the Bible, when we read Psalms, when we read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, many of the chapters when we read, we can clearly see that the yoke which was kept upon David, he was always tied with God. Once in a time, he just loosened that yoke. And because of that, he had to go through sufferings. So don't loosen up the yoke with God, but always get fastened. Tighten your yoke with God and you will be successful in all your life. Why King Saul told to David that he was a lad? The reason is that in older times, only those who were the age of about 20 were allowed to go for war. That if you read in Numbers chapter 1 verse 3, for 20 years old and upward, all that able to go forth to war in Israel. So for about 20 years old only, people can go for war. That was the rule there. But this young lad came because he was anointed by God at an young age and his yoke was tied with God. He was tied with a yoke of family burdens. He was tied with yoke of defending against, you know, wild animals. He was given the yoke of leading a nation. And for all this, he needed the power from God. So these days, I want to exhort you by these words, that when God is tied, when we tie our yoke with God, God always leads us. I want to read many verses from Psalms where David cries out, where David sings out to God that he is my refuge, he is my strength, he is my everything. So we can clearly see that David was successful in all his ways. So we read about Jeremiah. He was called at approximately the age of 17 years. We were told about Joseph, who was called to carry the yoke at an young age of 17 years. We heard about David, who was anointed by God between the age of 10 to 15 years. Even when he went to meet Goliath, King Saul says that to David, he is a warrior from his youth. So he was a warrior from his youth. But even though the enemy is a warrior from his youth, when we don't have any experiences in our life, if our yoke is tied with God, God is helpful. God is he is always there to help us and make us success in our life. Can Anne Santosh read for me from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1? Anne?
Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them.
So here it is saying that remember your God in the days of your youth. So we have to remember God. We have to know God in the days of our youth. That's what Ecclesiastes is exhorting us there. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes from that old chapter, it says that everything is vain. And if you come to the last chapter, it says that fear God in everything. Remember God in the days of your youth. It will be well for you. It will be well for you. And if you read the chapter 12, if you continue the chapter 12 up to the end, it is saying why to remember God in your youth, because it will carry you well. It is for your well-being. Days may come in the days ahead, days and hours are coming to your life, going to come to your life when you say, God, where are you? Why I have to go through these problems? Why this chastening on me? Or God may give you blessings. Too much blessings he can give you. But at all these times, you have to remember your Creator. And as I told you before, and as the speaker Spurgeon says, when you know your Creator from your youth, it saves you from 1,000 snares. It keeps you from bearing the devil's yoke. You have to listen to the words of your parents, as I told you, of your elders, and that will make you grow each day in your life. We may feel, as I told you, the chastening may be hard for now to bear, but God is there always to lead us. Can Justin read for me from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 22?
Obey the command of your father,
and do not disregard the teachings of your mother. Fasten them on your heart forever. Hang them around your neck. When you walk around, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you wake up, they will talk to you.
So when you listen to the words of your parents, when you listen to the words of God, when the yoke is tied with those whom you can trust, especially to God, it will lead you each day of your life. You will be renewed like eagles in each days of your life. Can Steve Tony read for me Psalms 103 verse 5?
He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles.
Thank you, Justin, and thank you, Steve. So when we listen to God, when we bear that yoke in our young age, it will be renewed like an eagle. I know the time is going. I will take only maybe 5 more minutes. Let me go to the New Testament, where we'll read about Jesus. So we learned about Jeremiah at an young age. We heard about Joseph at an young age. We heard about David at an young age. Can Emil read for me Luke chapter 2, verse 42? Luke chapter 2, verse 42.
When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After his celebration was...
Okay. Thank you, Emil. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. So this was the age that every Jewish boy became a son of the law, not son-in-law. At every Jewish boy at the age of 12, he became a son of the law. So he was to be under the law. So we see that Jesus Christ, he is mentioned in the Bible at an young age, at the 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. Why they went up to Jerusalem? That all we'll deal in another time. But we know that as we read down, we know that his parents lost him on the way. And when they returned back, they found him. And what is he saying? He's saying in verse 49, how is it that he sought me? He know that I must be about my father's business. So he was doing his father's business. At an young age of 12, he started his journey. He knew that he has to do his father's business. That is the first verse of Jesus' sayings recorded. That is the first recorded verses of Jesus saying, that is my father's business. And you know what is the last words of Jesus before his death? He said, it is finished. And that is the father's business which he came to. Why he could finish that? It victorious. Why he was victorious? Because the yoke was tied with his father. You know, after that, the 18 years is there. There is no records for that 18 years. Then it goes directly to 30 years. But when I explain, when we study in this context, it is no longer a mystery. Why? Because even though he retained his divine nature, but he limited himself to human nature's attributes during the days of his flesh. He was obedient to his parents. He was a true example to overcome sin and anointed to defeat the spirit of Satan. He was submission. He was in he submitted to his parents. He submitted to the work of God. May I move forward? Can Jamie read for me chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30?
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you, Jamie. Here we see what we read about the yoke. The same thing we are reading here. Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So what is the yoke that Jesus Christ is saying here? What is the taking of yokes? I don't want to explain everything in detail, but let me say in just words, it is to take the yoke of Christ. We know that. What is that? It is to take up the cross daily. It is to take no thought for life. It is to take no thought of raiment, that is for your food, for your clothes. It is to take communion with God. It is to take the old armor of God. It is how you give alms. It is what you hear. It is how you hear. It is what you cover, what you dress. It is how you forgive. It is how you overload yourselves in eating, drinking, and cares of this life. How you feed and care for the church. How you build on Christ. How you use your liberty. These are the yokes which Christ is speaking to young people today. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn of me. And Jesus Christ was obedient to all these yokes. I have two more persons to read for me. Can Rihanna Nobi read for me Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8.
In your relationship, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who is being very nature, God did not consider equality with God sometimes to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of the servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the death, even death at a cross.
Thank you, Raina. So Jesus Christ was obedient until the death. Whatever yoke was placed on him, he carried it successfully because it was tied to God. May I end with one more person's soul? So we heard about Jeremiah at the age of 17. We heard about Joseph at the age of 17. We heard about David at the age between 10 to 15 years. We heard about Jesus at the age of 12. And can lastly, Sangeet read for me from Acts chapter 7, verse 58.
Dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul.
So here we see that Saul was an young man. He was a very young man. That is the time when God began to intercede in his life. He was an young man. Everything, he was in favor of murdering Stephanos, as we read in the books. But he was an young man. Every clothes, everything was brought to this young man. So God needs young people these days. He needs us to equip us for the outside. So let us these days give ourselves to God. And that is why in the book of Romans, chapter 8, he's saying, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. So, this morning time, let me tell to each one of you that submit your young life to God, and God is going to take you each day of your life. The other day, we saw a man drawing a few black dots. We couldn't make it out. Later, when he joined the dots with lines, and we found that those were the notes of a beautiful song. Dear ones, in the same way, there may be many black dots in your life, but at the end of the day, join these dots with the word of God, and you will find the song by which you are shaped. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. May I end these words, but I ask all these days to strengthen yourselves in God. And while I end this message today, I request Sharon to sing the few lines of the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. May God bless us all. Sharon.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you, Sharon, and all those who helped in reading the verses today. May God bless us all with this message.